अनन्यो जगदीश्वरा वासो जगदीश सर्वत्रा तस्मात्स्तां विनुदृश्यते त्वया मन्दभाग्योक्तो अनन्यो जगदीश्वरा वासो जगदीश सर्वत्रा The one who, by you, and the Bhagya, O unfortunate one, Bhukta, described, Madanya, besides me, Jagadishara, Supreme Controller of the Universe. Where? Aso, that one, Jadi, if, Saha, he, Sarvatra, everywhere, all pervading. Kasmat, why? Samhe, in the pillar before me, Nadrishyate, not seen. Oh, most unfortunate for lad, you've always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who's above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Before demons sometimes declare to a devotee that they cannot accept the existence of God because they cannot see him. For what the demon does not know is stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham Prakasya Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrita. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, for them I am covered by Yogamaya. The Lord is open to being seen by devotees, but the non-devotees cannot see him. The qualification for seeing God is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.38, Pramanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Ridayesho Vilokayanti. A devotee has developed a genuine love for Krishna, cannot always see him everywhere, whereas a demon not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord. A devotee who has developed genuine love for Krishna can always see him everywhere, whereas a demon not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord cannot see him. When Hiranyakashipu was threatening to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad certainly saw the column standing before him and his father, and he saw that the Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demonic father's words. The Lord was present to protect him. Hiranyakashipu marked Prahlad's observation and asked him, "Where is your God?" Prahlad Maharaj replied, "He is everywhere." Then Hiranyakashipu asked, "Why is he not in this pillar before me?" And thus, in all circumstances, the devotee can always see the Supreme Lord, whilst the non-devotee cannot. Prahlad Maharaj has here been addressed by his father as the most unfortunate. Hiranyakashipu thought himself extremely fortunate because he possessed the property of the universe. Prahlad Maharaj's legitimate son was to have inherited his vast property, but because of his impotence, he was going to die at his father's hands. Therefore, the demoniac father considered Prahlad the most unfortunate because Prahlad would not be able to inherit his property. Hiranyakashipu did not know that Prahlad was the most fortunate person within three worlds because Prahlad is protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such are the misunderstandings of demons. They do not know that a devotee is protected by the Lord in all circumstances. Kotiya prasijani hi name bhakta danasyati. Yas tvaya manda bhagyokto mad anya jagadishara paso jadi sasarvatra kasmat stambe inadishati. Hiranyakashipu said, "Oh, most unfortunate Prahlad, you've always described the Supreme Being other than me, a Supreme Being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar?" So, the nature of the demoniac person is that he only believes that which he can directly perceive with his imperfect senses. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is described the nature of the non-devotee. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. He sees himself as being the supreme controller and the supreme enjoyer. He thinks, "I am perfect, I am powerful, I am strong. I'm the best of all personalities, and I am the center of attention, and everything should be orientated around me, adjusted for my sense gratification, my pleasure." In this way, a demonic person is extremely selfish, self-centered, and he does not think of the welfare of all. He may have some consideration for the welfare of others, only in as much as it helps his sense gratification. So Prabhupada explained there are two kinds of selfishness, personal and extended selfishness. Personal selfishness means just for one's own sense gratification, and extended selfishness means it may be extended to one's family members, or one's nation, like that, or even to the whole human society. Someone is thinking that if I serve the nation, then it will also be beneficial to me. But then in another nation, they have some other idea, so there's some conflict. Then someone thinks, let me serve humanity. You've seen in India sometimes the slogan, service to man is service to God. Work is worship, etc. Those kind of slogans that, and sometimes people criticize devotees that you say you're serving God, but isn't it a higher principle just to serve mankind, one's loved ones, fellow men, like that? But very often we see, in most cases, that such so-called do-gooders, they're meat-eaters. So in the name of, you know, being compassionate to all mankind, they are slaughtering so many defenseless animals. Now, these animals, they are also citizens, isn't it? These cows, they are also citizens of New Zealand. Why they are butchering so many innocent citizens in that way? In the Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev says, Tatikshava Karunika Suridam Sarvadehinam Ajata Saptravasanta Sadhava Sadhubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he's tolerant, merciful, and he's friendly to all living beings. He's very peaceful, he has no enemies, and he always abides by the Shastra. These are the ornaments of the sadhu. So, Prabhupada, in commenting on this verse, says, Sarvadehinam means all who are embodied. Deha, it means body. So, all embodied beings. Suridam, the devotee is a friend and well-wisher. So, not only human beings, but also the animals, the plants, everyone. The devotee sees all as being spirit soul, and he wants to see everyone progress in spiritual life. Just as it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Sunichaiva Svapakicha, Pandita Samadarshinaha. A learned sage sees with equal vision the Brahmana, elephant, cow, dog, and dog eater. Of course, it doesn't mean that he treats them exactly the same way. He sees them all as spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. But it's not that he may take instruction from the Brahmana. He's not going to sit down and take instruction from the elephant or the dog. But still, according to their particular bodily nature, he will treat them in a way that will be beneficial for them. Cows, of course, are protected by devotees. Elephants also, they're seen as auspicious animals, and they participate in many devotional functions, just like in Udupi, for example. That's Nigeria, about Madhvacharya. So Udupi, there are elephant processions. The elephants are taking the Vijay Vigraha around the town. In the Guruvayur also, you can see the same. Fan, peacock fan, tamarack fan, just like in Mayapur. Those ceremonies that we see in Mayapur, elephant procession, they're based on the processions that one sees there in Guruvayur. There were many great elephant devotees also. They have whole stories about the activities of different elephants, how they would come and offer obeisances every day. There was one elephant, Keshava, in Guruvayur, who actually, when he left his body, he came and he offered obeisances in front of the deities and then left his body just at that point. So they are auspicious animals. But even dog is generally considered unfit to come into the temple. Why? Because badly behaved. He'll, you know, maybe pass through or bark, fight, like that. It's aggressive nature. So generally keep outside. But still there are examples of devotees being very kind to dogs. She even understand he brought a dog with him from Bengal to Puri. On the way, the dog disappeared. So he was fasting because he thought that this dog, I must have mistreated this dog. But he was giving him prasad. But when he got to Puri, the dog was sitting near to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding prasad to the dog. And the dog actually went back to Godhead. So the devotee, well-wisher, it said that Grahastha, when he prepares prasad, then after he should go out and call three times, prasad, prasad, prasad. Anyone who wants prasad should be able to come to his house and take prasad. The Prabhupada described how in his father's house every day there were always some guests. He was liberal in distributing prasadam. This is the mood of the devotees. And not only the human beings, but even animals, they will also get, the grihastha should feed all the household animals. So in this way they will be purified, and he should let them hear the chanting of the holy name. Not only animals, but trees and plants will also be benefited. Haridas Thakur, he said that by loud chanting of the holy name, even the non-moving living entities, they will become benefited and liberated. So in this way, a devotee is not at all like a demon. Completely different nature. The demon is trying to control everything, trying to enjoy everything, and he doesn't care how he mistreats others in his pursuits of sense gratification. Whereas a devotee is very sense controlled, and he doesn't hunt after sense gratification. This is not the devotee's business. Because he knows that by acting in Krishna consciousness, one acts for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, and if the Supreme Lord is satisfied, then that means everyone will be benefited. One is acting for the benefit of all. And in this way, one will be busy, engaged in Krishna's service, and the senses will also be satisfied. Actually, there's no better way to satisfy the senses than Krishna consciousness. It's the cleanest, purest, most blissful way of satisfying the senses. But it's not that we put that priority first, sense gratification, and then everything else. No, we give priority first Krishna, Krishna's devotees, distributing Krishna consciousness to one and all. And it will be automatically included, the senses will be satisfied. Prabhupada said everybody likes to sing and dance. They're going to the ballroom dance, disco dance. They're going to the bar, they're singing in a rowdy way, isn't it? The football match, rugby match, singing their anthems. But it's all very gross and contaminated, aggressive and impure. But the devotees are singing and dancing the holy names of Krishna. Such a sweet activity, Harinam Kirtan. And they can go on for hours and hours and hours. Just like in Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan. It would go on for hours and hours in Navadvipa also. Nocturnal kirtan. All night practically. They would be chanting the holy names in great ecstasy. And we see also our ISKCON, probably you've been having ecstatic kirtans here on this Padayatra, sometimes late in the night. Huh? So you feel all personally tasting the nectar of the holy name. And after that, one feels satisfied. You may feel exhausted. Or may not even feel exhausted. They feel like going on more and more and more. But even let's say one feels exhausted, he feels satisfied at heart. And they may take some prasadam, nice vegetarian food stuff offered to Krishna. Not rotting flesh and fermented alcohol and so forth. Very sattvic, very pure. There's no better food than prasad. So tasty. Even the karmis there love to take prasadam. So many persons are visiting the restaurant. Devotees are famous for prasadam. Mm. So in this way, the senses can easily be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. There's no difficulty. So everyone likes to sing and dance, Prabhupada said. Everyone likes to eat nice food. Everyone likes to go to some social gathering. So we can do all these activities in a God-conscious way, in a Krishna-conscious way, and automatically one will become peaceful, satisfied at heart, and pure in consciousness. Because This process is given by the Supreme Lord Himself. He is the creator of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matha sarvam prabhajate. Iti madhvabha jantimat buddha madhvabha samandita. Just saying, everything emanates from me. Everything that is material, everything that is spiritual. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So since Krishna created everything, He knows the best use for everything. Just like if you purchase some motor car, some Mitsubishi Toyota motor car, the company gives you the manual that do this, don't do this. So you follow, then your car remains in good running order. And if you don't follow, then very quickly you'll spoil the engine, ruin the car. So same thing. Here Krishna is giving us guidebook. We have gotten this body. That is also awarded to us by the grace of the Lord, by the arrangement of the Lord. And He is giving this guidebook how to use it. What to do, what not to do. So how to get the best benefit from the human form of life. If one follows the instruction in the Shastra, these guidebooks, Shastra, Gita, Bhagavatam, if one strictly follows, then he'll get so much benefit. He'll make so much spiritual advancement. And he won't be at all bewildered by the material energy. Actually, the material energy is just another of Krishna's energies. And if one uses it properly, he will not be bewildered by it. There are many great Nitya Siddha devotees. Yesterday we heard about Madhavacharya. He came to this world. He engaged in service to the Lord and preached the glories of the Lord. And then he departed at his own sweet will. He was never in any way bewildered by the material energy. But he was using the energy in this world in the service of Krishna. This is a question of consciousness, that's all. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. And this is exemplified here in this particular verse, that Prahlad had that consciousness. He could see Krishna everywhere. So he never felt any fear of Hiranyakashipu. He was completely confident in his position. So that is the way of the great devotees, that is the way of the great souls. Whereas those who are non-devotees, they are trying to take advantage of Krishna's energy. They are like thieves, trying to take Krishna's property away from him and use for their own sense gratification. Trying to take Lakshmi away from Narayan, steal Lakshmi away. Just like Ravana stole Sita. At least he thought he stole Sita, but actually he only got a false Sita, illusory Sita. He didn't get the real thing. So if you try to take away Krishna's energy from Krishna, then you'll actually be bewildered and confused, because that Krishna's energy, it then takes another form, a Mahamaya form, and one becomes illusioned and bewildered by that energy, and he comes under the grasp of that energy, and he becomes kicked around by that energy, and in this way he suffers in this material world, lifetime after lifetime. Mogasha Mogakarmana Moga Gyana Vichetasa Rakshasim Asturim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shutaha. Those who are thus deluded are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views, and in that bewildered condition, their fruit of activities, their culture of knowledge, and their hopes for liberation are all ultimately defeated. So in this way, the condition soul, he is struggling lifetime after lifetime with this material energy, and he's not making any progress anywhere. Of course, in one particular lifetime, he may think that he's making some progress, just like Hiranyakashipu. He became very powerful, he became very wealthy, and that was his idea of progress. And you can see it duplicated in the small demons in this world, that they are trying to build up big bank balance, big skyscraper buildings, so many material arrangements for enjoying the senses in this world. But before a short time, the body starts to dwindle away and they have to leave everything. So their victory or progress, so-called victory or progress, is very short-lived, and ultimately it is just a defeat. They're defeated by the material energy. Shama evahi kevalam. That activity which doesn't help us to gain attraction for Krishna. This is a waste of time. A useless waste of time. So, there's no progress then for a gross materialist. In fact, he's regressing. It is explained in the Bhagavatam. With every rising and setting of the sun, that his life is being sapped away. From the very moment that the child is born, he's dying. One day dead, 2 days dead, 3 days dead, like that. He's progressing towards death, or regressing, if you like. Whereas the devotee, every rising and setting of the sun, the devotee is becoming more enlivened in Krishna consciousness. He's developing his love for Krishna, his love for Krishna's devotees. Through their association, he becomes more and more and more enlightened. So even the body is growing older, the devotee is becoming wiser. And he's absorbing his consciousness more and more deeply in Krishna. And his eternal relationship with Krishna, in due course of time, it will become manifested more and more and more, until he can go back home, back to Godhead, and live eternally in the spiritual world, in the association of Krishna. So this is the fortunate position of one who takes to devotional service. Therefore, Prahlad, he considered himself most fortunate. And when Nrisimhadeva asked him what benediction he would like, he said, "For myself, I don't require anything. I'm satisfied simply to be engaged in your service, but I'm just thinking of the unfortunate position of the conditioned souls of my father. Please forgive my father." So compassionate, even though his father was so demoniac and mistreated him so badly, Prahlad, in the end, he said, "Please forgive him. Please deliver all the fallen souls." So for himself, he was completely satisfied, most fortunate. Whereas Hiranyakashipu was most unfortunate. But Hiranyakashipu was thinking that he was most fortunate, because according to his conception, he had become like God, almost like God, deathless. He had dethroned Indra. He was the ruler of the entire universe. But the devotee can see through all of that. This is just a facade. It's all external. There's no spiritual well-being or spiritual benefit in that activity whatsoever. If one has become, use any of it in the service of Krishna, then he's simply spoiling his life, and he's a cheater and a rascal. Actually, one has to take Lakshmi and give back to Narayan. So if one uses everything material in this world in the service of Krishna, then it becomes spiritualized, his body becomes spiritualized, his consciousness becomes spiritualized, and he's actually acting on the platform of eternal love of God. So we're so fortunate that access to this transcendental world is available through the process of the Sankirtan, Anandam Bodhi Varnam Patipatam Pranamatasvaranam. It is increasing the ocean of transcendental bliss. It is enabling us to taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Everyone is seeking for pleasure and happiness, and it is freely available through this Hare Krishna mantra chanting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he broke open the storehouse of love of God, and he freely distributed the contents to everyone. So he requested, "Every man should help me in this activity. Everyone should help to pick these fruits of love of Godhead and distribute to all." So we're especially fortunate in this Hari Yatra to get the chance to be engaged so completely in this Harinam distribution process, traveling from town to town and simply opening the floodgates of love of God by going out amidst the unfortunate masses, those who think they're fortunate but are actually unfortunate, and making them fortunate by performing ecstatic kirtan, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, distributing prasadam, and letting them take darshan of their lordships, bringing them to programs where they can meet the devotees, get some association which will purify their hearts and give them a taste
for developing love for Krishna. So Krishna says in the Gita that one who is preaching his glories is most dear to him. And Prabhupada said that to serve Krishna in Kali Yuga means to serve the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the activity of Lord Chaitanya was just like this, going from town to town. Everyone he met, he was telling them about Krishna and gave that order. Yari deka taritaha Krishna upadeshama yaguruha taraideshu. Whoever you meet, just tell him about Krishna. In this way, become guru and you deliver the whole country. So, one who participates in this Padyatra, he's participating in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. This is the same Sankirtan movement. It is carrying on according to parampara. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that wherever Lord Chaitanya went, he told everyone about Krishna, taught them to chant Hare Krishna. Those persons heard and they taught other persons, and those persons taught still other persons. In that way, the parampara process was working, and that's how it's going on today. It's still going on like that. So, if we participate in that activity, then we'll get so much mercy from Krishna, from Lord Chaitanya, from all the previous acharyas, and it is certain that one will be able to attain the highest goal of life and go back to Godhead. So, thus one becomes the most highly fortunate person. The mercy is there for everyone. Simply you have to take. You have to take and distribute. And then the mercy will increase. The devotee must preach. Otherwise, if he has spiritual knowledge and he doesn't preach, that spiritual knowledge will become dried up. But if he distributes and preaches, then his realization will increase, his determination will increase, his purity will increase, his enthusiasm will increase, his love for Krishna will increase. So this is the way Lord Chaitanya has shown the way, the path that one should tread. Very simple. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Not very likely. Of course, there may be some person, somehow or other, his fortune. You know the story of Ajamil, don't you? So, somehow or other, he chanted the name of the Lord at the time of death. And he was immediately protected by the messengers of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas. But that story is there to show the potency of the holy name. It is not there to encourage people that they can do anything they like and just chant the name of God at the time of death. It shows that even if a person was very sinful, if he takes to the chanting of the name of Krishna, then he can be saved from that sinful condition. But generally, persons who don't practice throughout their life, they won't be able. Just like a prophet, he said that sometimes the university awards a scholarship to a person who didn't, you know, do well in his exams. Just like there's a Rabindranath Tagore, he's a famous poet in Bengal, Bengal's most famous poet. So the Oxford University awarded him a PhD. Actually, he was illiterate in his childhood. He never trained properly in school. Somehow he learned to write, and he became the greatest poet in Bengal. So they gave him an honorary degree. PhD. But Prabhupada said, we shouldn't think that, you know, we can do like Rabindranath Tagore, that we won't study, pass the exams, and we'll get PhD. It's not like that. That's a rare case, exceptional case. Similarly, Ajamil, exceptional case. So we shouldn't think that we can go through life just doing any nonsense, and at the end we'll think of God and go back to the spiritual world. It doesn't work like that. Rather, you have to practice throughout your lifetime, become purified, chant the holy name, engage in Krishna service, and then that chances are you'll be able to think of Krishna at the time of death. the chances will be increased so much more. Of course, there's also the example of Bharat Maharaj, who was a great devotee but became attached to a deer and thought of the deer at the time of death and had to take birth as a deer. But it wasn't an ordinary deer. In that deer body, he could remember his previous lifetime, and he associated with great sages. He used to stay near their ashram and hear their discourses on Shastra. So in that way, even in deer body, he maintained his Krishna consciousness. And next body, again, he became a great devotee and he went back to Godhead. So for a devotee, even if there is some mistake or failing at the time of death, still Krishna will definitely take into consideration all of his service, all the activities that he's done, and he will be able to progress in the next life in Krishna consciousness. So we need to follow the process. Yeah. It would tend to be, because even if it's not externally manifested very much, still, obviously the person is thinking, I know better than Krishna's devotees. I can do what I like, I can judge for myself what I should do. So that means that the person is thinking, taking his own opinion highest. And because of that, then he makes mistakes and falls from the spiritual platform. But if a devotee is humble, that means he always accepts the authority of Krishna, accepts the authority of Guru, Krishna's devotees. So he's ready to listen to them. He feels, I need their instruction, I need their protection. So he doesn't become overconfident in that way. He becomes overconfident, very dangerous. We should always pray for the mercy of Hari Guru Vaishnava. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koryas. Hari Nam Sankirtan Kori Naratama Das. Naratam, very humble devotee, always praying for the mercy of the spiritual master and the devotees and Krishna. Prabhupada once said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down. So where was the question of Prabhupada falling down? No question. But especially because he had that mood of humility and feeling dependent on the mercy and protection of Krishna and Guru. So that's why he was always protected. Surrender to Krishna. That's the primary characteristic of a devotee. There are many characteristics of devotees, but there's one primary characteristic and many secondary characteristics. The primary characteristic, the primary feature of a devotee is that he surrendered to Krishna. Everything else and all other qualities of a devotee will become developed because of that surrender to Krishna. Because all the good qualities are in Krishna. Fearlessness is also the Vajra Hure Mana Shinanda Nandana Abhaya Chalana Vindare. My dear mind, please worship Krishna, because at his lotus feet there is no fear. Prahlad Maharaj. Well, he's an internal associate of Lord Nrsimhadev. Maybe in Nrsimhadev Maharaj can shed some more light. Back to God. But he also appears sometimes in the pastimes of the Lord. Like, actually, Vasudev Dutta is also an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. and Haridas Thakur is partially incarnation of Brahma and also Prahlad. Okay. All right. So, thank you. Jai Nrisimhadev Bhagavan ki. Prahlad Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hariyatra ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gaura Prema Nandi. Yashoda Dulal Prabhu ki. Chapter 8, text 30. Samramba dus preksha karala lochano vyatananantam vihilans vajivaya asri lavak lavaktarana kesharanano yatantra mali dvipa hatyaya hari. Samramba.
Samramba.
Because of great anger.
Duspreksha.
Duspreksha.
Very difficult to look at.
Very difficult to look at.
Karala.
Karala.
Very fearful.
Very fearful.
Lochana.
Lochana.
Eyes.
Eyes.
Vyata.
Vyata.
Expanded.
Expanded.
Anana anta.
Anana anta.
The edge of the mouth.
Vilihan.
Licking.
Licking.
Svajivaya. With his tongue. Asriklava. With spots of blood. Akta. Smeared.
Aruna.
Reddish. Keshara. Min.
Anana.
And face.
Yata.
Just as.
Antramali.
Decorated with a garland of intestines.
Dvipahatyaya.
By the killing of an elephant.
Hari.
The lion.
Purport.
The hair on Lord Nrisimhadev's face being sprinkled.
Translation.
Lord Nrisimhadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. Please repeat. Lord Nrisimhadev's mouth and mane
were sprinkled with drops of blood,
and his fierce eyes,
full of anger,
were impossible to look at.
Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev.
Decorated with a garland of intestines.
Taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen.
Resembled a lion.
That has just killed an elephant.
Purport. The hair on Lord Nrisimhadev's face, being sprinkled with drops of blood, was reddish and looked very beautiful.
Lord Nrisimhadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines, and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant.
Also read the next verse.
Nakan kurot patita hrit saroroham visrija tasyanucharan udayudan Ahan samastan nakasasta panibir dodandayuto nupatan sahasrasa.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw him aside and turned towards the demon soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him with raised weapons and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisimhadev killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. Please repeat.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who had many, many arms,
many, many arms,
First uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart. And then threw him aside. And turned toward the demon soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands. To fight with him with raised weapons. And were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisimhadev killed all of them. Merely with the ends of his nails. Purport. Since the creation of the material world, there have been two kinds of men, the devas and the asuras. The devas are always faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the asuras are always atheists who defy the supremacy of the Lord. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the atheists are extremely numerous. They are trying to prove that there is no God, and that everything takes place due to combinations and permutations of material elements. Thus, the material world is becoming more and more godless, and consequently, everything is in a disturbed condition. If this continues, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly take action, as he did in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Within a second, Hiranyakashipu and his followers were destroyed, and similarly, if this godless civilization continues, it will be destroyed in a second, simply by the movement of one finger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons should therefore be careful and curtail their godless civilization. They should take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement and become faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, otherwise they are doomed. As Hiranyakashipu was killed in a second, the godless civilization can be destroyed at any moment. So again, the translation of the verses. Lord Nrisimhadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Nrisimhadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart, and then threw him aside and turned towards the demon soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him, with raised weapons, and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu, but Lord Nrisimhadev killed all of them merely with the end of his nails. So, whatever prowess a person may possess in this material world is completely insignificant compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if we add up the prowess of many millions of persons, or even billions of persons, still it is insignificant. The level on which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is operating is infinite. It is immense. It is completely beyond our tiny imagination to conceive of the dimensions of the creation of the Lord. We get some idea, of course, from the Shastra. We hear that, for example, the universe has so many planets, and there are also unlimited universes, just like there are mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds, or there are grains of sand on a beach. So you can't conceive how many. To think of counting the grains of sand on a beach is, I mean, it's just unrealistic, impractical. So like that, one cannot count the universe, then still this material creation is just a small portion of the spiritual sky, the unlimited spiritual sky. It is just one small corner in the vast creation of the Lord. So it's very hard from our angle of vision to understand these things. Just like, say, an ant or other small insect crawling on the floor, you cannot understand the dimension on which the human being is operating. Human being has, by the grace of God, has got many different kinds of abilities and powers. Say, for example, he can launch airplanes and spaceships which can travel far distances. Just like tomorrow I'm supposed to leave to go to Mayapur. So within, you know, 24 hours or so, 30 hours, to be able to reach some